always trust you.
We ask the questions.
What is needed in the world?
Is that going to be?
I'm Ali Hashim in Vienna, where Iran and the world powers have resumed the talks to revive the 2015 nuclear deal. That deal was struck in this building. And for journalists like me who covered this story, it's a deja vu moment. As for politicians who are talking right now and discussing this deal once again, it's back to square one. Iran is here with a new delegation, with a new negotiating team that was formed after the election of Ibrahim Raisi in June 2021. For the United States, it's here, but it's not in this building where only JCPOA members, which is the Iran Nuclear Deals abbreviation, only are here. The Europeans, E3, the UK, Germany, and France, besides China and Russia, these are the countries discussing with Iran the new steps. The United States is in another hotel. The members of the JCPOA delegations are meeting with them in other places in order to reach a kind of a consensus over how to deal with Iran and how to get back on track after former U.S. President Donald Trump withdrew from the deal in 2018. We'll get more on this as Iran's chief negotiator and deputy foreign minister Ali Bakhri Kenny talks to Al Jazeera.
Iran's deputy foreign minister and chief nuclear negotiator, Dr. Ali Bakhri Kenny, thank you for talking to Al Jazeera. You submitted in the past few days two draft proposals to the world powers regarding the sanctions and the nuclear measures. So what can you tell us about these?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. همونطور که میدونید این گفتگوها شش دور در وین.
As you are already aware, six rounds of negotiations were held this year in spring and summer in Vienna, and ultimately there were some draft documents. We, as the representative of the new government of Iran and the new nuclear negotiator, we expanded on our views about the drafts, particularly about the draft about lifting illegal and oppressive sanctions and the nuclear activities.
So what are the details of these drafts? Can we know?
As with the details about the draft documents on sanctions and nuclear issue, the important point is that the both parties agreed on the foundation of negotiations, which is the same nuclear deal of the 2015. What we have presented is the malfunctions and the blunders which were in the text of the drafts, and we presented some modifications.
Okay, doctor, let me bring it in another way. What are your demands? What are you asking the world powers to offer?
We emphasize that within the framework of the JCPOA in 2015, all the issues related to our nuclear activities should continue. So is the case with regards to the sanctions. Any sanctions in violation and in not consistency with the provisions of the JCPOA should be removed immediately. So is the case with all the sanctions which are related to the nuclear deal. All the sanctions which have been imposed or reimposed under the so-called maximum pressure campaign of the United States, they should be removed immediately.
And do you request verification of this, the sanction lifting? Are you requesting also guarantees?
As with the verifications and guarantees, there are very serious issues and discussions which have been outlined in the third document.
What do you think that this round of talks came out with? What's the main success that you're going to take with you to Tehran later?
We presented some proposals, and through those proposals we demonstrated that not only we are serious in the negotiations, but also with the proposals we tabled for the other party, we indicated and suggested our serious determination in order to reach an agreement. And the proposals we have tabled is now under the table of the other parties. And they are now going to provide us with response. Of course, with response which are accompanied by evidence and logical reasoning.
Okay, so what if they refuse your proposal? What if there is no deal?
The proposals tabled by Iran cannot be rejected at all because they are based on the provisions of the 2015 nuclear agreement. Even the country which had withdrawn from the deal is intent in returning to the deal. And in principle, the countries which are still the participants of the JCPOA, they do not want to ruin the nuclear document.
Ali Bakiri Kenny is no stranger to negotiations. Between 2008 and 2013, he was an assistant to Saeed Jalili, then Secretary of the National Security Council in Iran. Both of them took part in several rounds of talks with the world powers over Iran's nuclear program. It was at that time that a real deadlock led to Iran raising and increasing its enrichment of uranium to 20%, and the world powers, mainly the United States of America and the UN Security Council, imposing harsh sanctions on the Islamic Republic. And with the election of President Hassan Rouhani in 2013, Ali Bakiri Kenny left the negotiating team and became very critical of the path the new government took in engagement with the West. With the election of President Ibrahim Raisi in 2021, he was appointed as Deputy Foreign Minister, and later on, he replaced Abbas Araghchi as Iran's chief negotiator.
You've been taking part in different negotiating rounds in the past. I remember you were in 2000, maybe 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, in these years. Now that you are leading the talks, what is the different thing you're bringing to the table?
One of the fundamental differences with the previous rounds of negotiations is that there are foreign players and foreign actors which are seriously making efforts in order to disrupt the negotiating table.
So, and how are you confronting the disruptions?
It is quite normal that they try in order to provide obstacles and impediments on the way of reaching the agreement. But the important point is that the measures taken by Iran have been within the framework of the international law, the Non-Proliferation Treaty, the NPT, and the Safeguards Agreement. Therefore, they have provided a good ground for the Islamic Republic of Iran to reach an agreement.
The controversy over Iran's nuclear program started in 2003, and since then there were negotiations and talks taking place in different places around the world, from Vienna, where we are right now, to Geneva, to Lausanne, to Zurich, to Astana, Istanbul, many cities around the world, even Baghdad. All these cities saw Iran and the other international powers meeting in order to reach a consensus and a settlement to end this controversy. In 2015, there was a possibility to reach a deal, and the deal was announced on the 14th of July. The implementation of this deal started with the government of President Barack Obama in the United States and the government of President Hassan Rouhani in the Islamic Republic of Iran. But just a few months after the deal, there was elections in the United States, and President Obama was replaced by President Donald Trump. That meant to many that the nuclear deal was heading towards an unclear fate. And in fact, just a few months after the election of President Donald Trump, he announced his withdrawal, his country's withdrawal from the nuclear deal, and then started imposing new sanctions and reimposing old sanctions on Iran. Iran responded a year later by starting to decrease its compliance with the deal and going towards enriching uranium on higher percentages, from 3.65 as per the 2015 deal to 20%. And recently, it announced that it started doing some enrichment up to 60% clarity.
But now, for example, the IAEA report said that you are enriching 20%, which is something you declared, I think, a month ago. But now there are accusations that Iran might be heading towards enriching 90%, which is a weapon grade. Is this true?
This news about 90% enrichment was broken by the Zionist media and Zionist sources. And such news was immediately denied and rejected by the highest authority of the International Atomic Energy Agency, which is the Director General.
And you wouldn't be willing to do that in the future?
Our nuclear activities are taking place within the framework of the NPT and the Safeguards Agreement. It's already clear that if the JCPOA parties fulfill their obligations according to the JCPOA, we will do the same, and we will fully comply with our commitments within the framework of the nuclear agreement.
Dr. Bakri, 2015 was a long time ago. It's like 6 years ago. And the JCPOA, within the situation, within the geopolitical conditions of 2015, is it still alive? Is it still valid today? Are you here to revive a dead deal, maybe?
The costs and the price for reviving the deal and to sustain the deal has been based on the measures taken by Iran, because the United States pulled out of the agreement and it completely violated the deal, and the Europeans failed in practice to show their full compliance within the JCPOA. And it depends on the behavior of the other parties, the Europeans in full compliance with the JCPOA and with the Americans to return to the deal. If this happens, then the deal will be revived.
Is the deal sustainable within the framework that it was negotiated in 2015?
Both parties are determined to return to the 2015 deal.
Is there a time frame for a conclusion? Are you going to talk forever? It's been like 20 years now you're talking, at least 19 years since 2003. And it's like 19 years now. Are you going to talk for another 19 years till you reach a final agreement?
I believe that the response by the other party to the logical proposals of the Islamic Republic of Iran can definitely provide answer to your question.
And if there is no deal, I'm just assuming there is no deal, what's next?
Our presence here indicates and suggests that we are seriously determined in order to reach an agreement. And we do serious assessment of the will and determination of the other party and the behavior of the other parties in order to see if they are prepared to return to the full compliance of the deal and also to set aside their violations.
The maximum pressure campaign that former U.S. President Donald Trump launched against Iran saw him imposing and re-imposing sanctions against it. And this led to serious economic crisis in the country. One of the faces of these crises was the free fall of the currency, whereas it lost more than 200% of its value. The markets in Iran weren't able anymore to export their products to the world, and this led to recession. Also, Iran wasn't able to sell any of its oil to the external buyers. Besides, international companies and organizations were warned not to cooperate or to invest in the Islamic Republic because that would make them subject to American sanctions. Till the moment, this is having its impact on the Iranian economy. However, after almost 3 years since that moment, it seems that the Iranian economy is starting restoring itself very, very slowly. And this is being reflected in the new numbers coming from Tehran.
Given the maximum pressure strategy and the sanctions that were imposed on Iran in the past few years, the economic situation isn't good. There is a lot of pressure. How much would Iran be able to sustain without a nuclear deal?
Our economy, under the circumstances of the past several years, under which the U.S. sanctions and the sanctions imposed by the U.S. allies on the Islamic Republic of Iran, has been able to advance and progress. This is a reality that the sanctions have had an impact. But the Islamic Republic of Iran has proved that the sanctions cannot be effective.
What's plan B in Iran?
We, in fact, would rely on our domestic capacities and capabilities, and we will also expand our engagement and interaction with the countries which are serious and effective in dealing with us. We will seriously pursue the track of progress, economic progress of our country. During the past several years, the United States has pinned all its efforts in order to block Iran's economic links with the world. But we demonstrated that we can bring their efforts to a failure and continue our economy on a positive track. But this does not mean that the Americans have not inflicted any damage on our people or our economy. And therefore, one of the issues we are seeking in the negotiations is the issue of reparation by the United States for the harms and damages they inflicted on our people.
And would they pay that? Would they pay the compensation? Are they showing any readiness to do that?
The issue of reparation has been on the agenda of the talks of the Vienna negotiations. And this is an issue which will be dealt with in the third document.
There is a third document, aside from the two documents that you presented or submitted the previous day. So what about this third document? Why isn't it proposed for now?
The other party is, in fact, presently studying our two documents we provided them. We are waiting for the response, and as soon as we receive their response, we will continue the work on the third document.
I just want to recap with you. So we have one document on the sanctions. We have another document on the nuclear measures. What's the title of the third document?
It's decision.
Decision. Okay. So just to go more into this issue, you are requesting lifting the sanctions, all the sanctions on Iran that were imposed during the past years. You are requesting verification. You're requesting guarantees and compensation.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So how much do you think this is realistic from, let's say, the American point of view?
In our negotiations with the other party, the other parties are endorsing the need for guarantees and the need for the establishment of a verification mechanism, both Russia, China, and even the Europeans. And in principle, the Americans also must accept. And in the previous draft documents, the Americans have accepted this framework. But the main point is about how the guarantees should be presented and how the verifications should be implemented.
It's not really possible, as the Americans say, to lift all the sanctions. This is what they're saying, because it's not all in the hand of the president. Some other sanctions should be lifted by the Congress. So negotiations is about give and take. So what are you giving here?
The give and take has already been conducted within the framework of the 2015 negotiations and the agreement. The two parties, I mean Iran and 4+1, they accept and agree with the deal. And the United States, which had pulled out of the deal, wants to return. Therefore, the give and take concept has already been materialized in 2015 negotiations. Now we should take measures which could remedy the blunders of the country which had pulled out of the deal, so that that country could solicit qualifications to return to the deal. Give and take happens when both parties violate anything. We did not violate anything. It was the Americans that violated the deal.
Over the past two decades, world powers had a main concern over Iran's nuclear program, weaponization, or this program having a military aspect or a military dimension. Therefore, the main issue that was being discussed all over these years was Iran giving guarantees it's not going to build a bomb. However, Iran said on different occasions that the Supreme Leader had a fatwa that prohibits building nuclear bombs or any kind of weapons of mass destruction. Over the past few weeks, Israel has been warning that if the United States, the Europeans, Russia and China aren't going to issue a clear stance and have a clear position from Iran's developing its nuclear program, then it's going to intervene in its way. The United States and Israel had several discussions over what they described as a plan B that they are going to resort to if there is no deal.
There are moments when nations must use force to protect the world from evil. If a terror regime is going to acquire a nuclear weapon, we must act. We must make clear that the civilized world won't allow it. If the Iranians don't believe the world is serious about stopping them, they'll race to the bomb. Israel reserves the right to act at any given moment in any way. That is not only our right, it is also our responsibility. Iran has publicly stated it wants to wipe us out. We have no intention of letting this happen.
Right now, there are also pressure. There's pressure. We can hear the Israelis calling on the United States to stop the talks and on the whole world powers to stop the talks. And in the past few days, there were a lot of calls and stances coming out from Israel showing a lot of concerns over what might be happening in Vienna.
I told you earlier that external actors, the Zionists, are making serious efforts in order to impede and disrupt the trend of negotiations. The Zionists are trying either to attack Iran's nuclear facilities or disrupt and impede the trend of negotiations. And it really depends on the independent identity of the other parties to demonstrate that they are not going to be influenced by the Zionist regime. And they decide based on the interests of themselves and their own country.
What about if Israel decided to strike the Iranian nuclear?
You mean military attack?
Military attack. Because they're talking about this.
I believe that the Zionists should dream of attacking Iran. And if they go on to this dream, they will never wake up from that dream.
How? What's going to be? What's the price?
What does it mean when we say someone does not wake up from the dream? When someone is not existed, that one will not wake up.
The last thing in this interview, so how much are you optimistic this is going to reach somewhere?
We are optimistic towards the future and success of the negotiations because of our serious determination to continue negotiations and because of the strong logic we are pursuing in the trend of negotiations. But we will not be gullible because we do not trust the other party.
And just an additional question here, since so if you don't trust them, they don't trust you, how are you going to reach to an agreement or a consensus? Is it an attempt to go into a, let's say, cohabitation?
Negotiations and agreements are for those who have differences of opinions. And it's not going to happen that with the negotiations, all the differences are going to be removed. And every party comes to the negotiating table based on its own interest. I think it's very clear.
Dr. Ali Baqeri, Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister and Chief Nuclear Negotiator, thank you for talking to Al Jazeera.
I also thank you and your viewers.
Now that this round of talks came to an end, delegations went back to their capitals, they'll have consultations with their governments, and then come back with answers. The answers are going to show whether this agreement, the 2015 agreement, is going to be revived, or that the Iranians and their international counterparts are going to have new talks, new framework, and maybe a new nuclear deal.